This is the only live and local morning show in the area. Interesting news, engaging talk, and news that affects you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Coming up this morning, my guest is Robert Walder, Director of the Umatilla County Community Development Department. Much to talk about, and we'll learn more about what that department does when we begin our conversation right after these words.
Did you know street trees are regulated in the city of Pendleton? Permits are required to plant trees, and only certain types of trees can be planted. Street trees must be maintained to keep roadsides visible and sidewalks walkable. If you fail to maintain your trees, you may even be cited by the Pendleton Police Department. You can find details about street tree requirements and report an unmaintained or dangerous tree on the city of Pendleton's website. Just search street trees.
Let's get back to more live and local news from the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Thanks for joining us here on a Thursday. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour. Dan Tespin, your host. Joining me in the studio this morning is Robert Walder. He is the director of the Umatilla County Community Development Department. And Robert, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Well, explain to our listeners the reasons why the county planning department recently reorganized to community development.
Yeah, so earlier this year, the county underwent some reorganization by bringing together the community development program and the Department of Land Use Planning under one umbrella. We've renamed this to community development. And the reason this was done was because we recognize that there's so much crossover between the work that was being done in economic development and land use planning, whether it's assisting a property owner with property inquiries or helping a developer navigate that regulatory process early on in a project. This change will really help us be able to better serve the public under one roof, one department.
And how has the reorganization impacted staffing?
Yeah, great question. So through the reorganization, I moved as serving as planning director to community development director with more of a focus on multiple programs in the department, but primarily economic development. So with that change, we also created a planning division manager, and that position has been assumed by Megan Dovchevsky in my department, who now oversees a team of three planners. And many of the day-to-day planning and permitting functions. So one of the other changes with the reorganization has been to move the county's GIS and mapping programs. Then we moved them down the hall to the assessor's office. And rather than having multiple departments have GIS and planning responsibilities, it was more effective and efficient to bring them all under one roof. And so with that change, we have like a central point that serves as a GIS management for the county. And I really think that's going to be more efficient moving forward. The reorganized community development department includes 7 staff members. So we oversee a variety of programs, including economic development and tourism, land use planning, code enforcement, and public transit. We also provide staffing to several committees, such as the Solid Waste Advisory Committee and Smoke Management Committee. And then finally, our staff also is heavily involved in county projects related to natural resources, such as floodplain management and energy projects. And Dan, this is really one of the things that I personally enjoy about working for Umatilla County is that while we are the largest county in Eastern Oregon, we're still relatively small in the grand scheme of things when looking at other counties in Oregon. And so it really gives our staff the opportunity to work on some really unique projects and wear a lot of different hats. Whereas if you worked at a larger county, you may specialize like in one particular discipline or subject matter. So I think our staff really enjoy that opportunity for the variety of work and having the opportunity to participate in some interesting projects.
Well, and you mentioned several of the services and programs provided within the department. Get a little bit more specific as far as those services and programs, because you touched on a lot there. From, a couple that stood out was, the tourism, public transit, and I know a lot of people use public transit just you know, in that aspect.
That's right. Yeah. So on the public transit side of things, Megan also oversees that program. And so this past year has been a busy one. The county receives dollars from the state of Oregon that go towards public transit. And so every biennium, we have to plan for the next round of transit funding. And so that was one of the things that we did this year at the county with our transit advisory committee. And so that's an example of just one type of project. Another thing that we're looking at doing is each department in the county is working on updating their strategic plan. And so that's one of the things that we've done in the community development department. And so we have a number of projects that we're looking at working at through this next year. And so it's a pretty exciting time to be involved in those projects, and we're looking forward to those.
Talk a little bit more about that, because I know strategic planning, as you just mentioned, is underway. Give us an overview of some of the upcoming projects.
Yeah, so one of the things that each department, I think, is really focusing on is moving forward with our technology and programs to be more in line with the digital world. So one of the things we've done is incorporated Esri GIS-based capabilities into our work. So one example of that is a digital mapping project that we went through this past year. And what it did was it created a useful tool for the public to be able to access an interactive map online, which will show information about their property, be able to give them the ability to display different layers of information through a GIS interactive platform. And so we're pretty excited about this because it gives our customers, the public, the ability to access this information from the comfort of their home rather than having to come into the courthouse, saves them a trip. And so if the listeners would like to check that program out, I really suggest they do. It's just on the Umatilla County's website, umatillacounty.gov, and under popular drop-down, there's a drop-down called Interactive Map. So I really encourage people to look at that. Another way that we're looking at addressing issues or our strategic plan is through the update of some of our long-range planning documents. So one of the biggest challenges our department faces is trying to keep up to date with what we call long-range planning documents. Over the past few years, we've seen a lot of growth in the county, which has required our planning staff to devote a lot of time to what we call current planning activities or permitting. And so since many of the permits fall under statutory time constraints, we have to prioritize those and aren't always able to make those important updates to those long-range planning documents. And so those documents are things like our comprehensive plan and our transportation system plan. And so one of the things we are undertaking this next year is an update to that transportation system plan, that long-range document. And so last summer, our team applied for and received a Transportation Growth Management Grant Program. It's kind of a mouthful, from the Department of Land Conservation and Development and ODOT. And these grant funds are going to go towards a consultant to help Umatilla County update our TSP, or Transportation System Plan. And a TSP is required by every jurisdiction. It's a way for them to be able to plan for and develop the county's transportation system over a 20-year planning cycle. The county's TSP was last updated over 22 years ago, or is actually generated 22 years ago. It's what we call a first-generation TSP. And so, as you can imagine, a lot's changed in this county in 20 years. And so this gives us the ability to plan for future transportation growth, update the plan, because as you can imagine, a lot of where we've seen such exponential growth and a lot of large amount of changes in the county, the transportation infrastructure hasn't always kept up with that. So that's one of the things we're pretty excited about. It's also very timely because it'll help the county maintain eligibility for state and federal funding for grants. Almost every transportation project that you apply for grant funding, they want to see that it's in a transportation system plan.
All right. Well, I'm talking this morning with Robert Walder, and we're talking about the Umatilla County Community Development Department. He is the director, and we are going to take a break and come back with more, so stay with us.
The Pendleton Market 76, your hometown all-American store, is proud to be part of this great community and part of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We stand up when we hear the national anthem, put our hands on our hearts when we recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and we thank God for everything He has given us. If you feel the same way, stop by and say hi to your neighbors at the Pendleton Market 76, your hometown all-American store. God bless America, God bless you, and God bless beer.
At Mackay Creek Estates, every day brings something new and exciting for our residents. We're so much more than bingo. From day trips, poker nights, to manicures and happy hours, our team works hard to create moments that bring residents joy and fulfillment. We invite you to come visit and experience the fun for yourself as we celebrate life at every age. For more information, visit prestigecare.com/Mackay Creek. Again, that's prestigecare.com/Mackay Creek.
Grab the kids and head to Wild Horse Resort and Casino for Pins and Pizza. Now offering family packages Monday through Thursday. $50 before 6 p.m. and $55 after 6 p.m. Package includes 90 minutes of bowling, shoe rentals, one large pizza with up to three toppings, and one pitcher of soda. The package is good for up to six people. Plus, in the arcade, you can get bonus credits when you spend $20 or more. Reserve your lane for Pins and Pizza family package. Available Monday through Thursday. Online at wildhorseresort.com.
Is your American flag old and tattered? Here's Mike Turner with Pendleton Pioneer Chapel on how you can properly dispose of an American flag.
One of the things that we can do to retire an American flag appropriately is by placing it with a veteran that has chosen to be cremated. That way the flag can be retired in a respectful and honorable way.
Mike and Michelle invite you to stop by and say hello at Pendleton Pioneer Chapel at 131 Southeast Byers Avenue in Pendleton.
Is pain altering your life? Listen to Tom Penner and how the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton has helped him.
I was having some lower back pain. There was a steady ache, and you wouldn't feel like doing anything. And an MRI, x-rays, and all that good stuff. And they were talking surgery, and that was way down at the bottom of my list.
How effective are the ozone treatments?
A lot of days I can go without any back pain at all, not even know it's there.
If you suffer from chronic pain, call the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton, 541-276-1752.
Local news and issues that affect you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Robert Walder, director of the Umatilla County Community Development Department. And in the first segment there, Robert, you were talking about all the different services and programs provided by the department, but are there some challenges with community development as far as all those different things you got to stay on top of?
Yeah, so that's great. I'm glad you asked. I mentioned that digital mapping project that we did, or the interactive map, and kind of some of the challenges around moving from, you know, paper to more of a digital world. And so one of the other challenges or challenges that we're working to address is going to more of an ESRI GIS-based capabilities into the rest of our work. So right now we're actually working with a consultant to develop a GIS-based code enforcement tracking program. And we hope this will really improve the efficiencies for both our field and office staffs. And so what this will do is it'll give our field officers actually a tablet that they can go out into the field when they're building a code enforcement case. Be able to take photos of the site and really build a strong case there. And then that'll hopefully bring the information back into the office electronically and really result in some time savings so we can focus on other projects that we have going on at the same time. So we're pretty excited about that. And there's just a lot of exciting things about ways we're addressing challenges through technology in our office.
And talk about the revamped Community and Economic Development Grant Program, along with recent funds that were awarded. I know this is a big deal.
Yeah, so this is probably one of my favorite things with this job of community development director that I enjoy the most is the Community and Economic Development Grant Program. And so this is a program that the county used to have that was put on pause in 2020 due to uncertainty around COVID. But the county recently revamped the program, and it's now available to Umatilla County businesses and community groups. And this program is funded through video lottery dollars that are received from the state. Those dollars are required by statute to go to economic development, and the goal of this program is to get the dollars out into our community. So we've designed the program to be centered around two types of grants, community development grants, which are focused on projects that enhance community livability. The project must be something that is tangible, lasting in value, and will remain in the community when the project's completed. The project can also be used for matching grant funds as a means to leverage other funding sources, as long as the purpose remains to enhance community livability through a tangible, lasting project. And then the other type of grant is an economic development grant that are focused on growing our county's economy by assisting new or existing businesses to grow, process or sell a product or provide a service. And so earlier this year, back in April, was the first cycle for that grant program. And so we've broken it down into two funding cycles, a spring and a fall funding cycle. And this for the spring cycle, we awarded several grants, three of them actually, and I'll kind of go over those. We just awarded them. So the first was for the Milton Freewater Junior Show. They are undergoing a project that reconstructs and updates their pens and fencing systems that they have in some of their barns up there. So they've been doing a great job of updating their fairgrounds there in Milton Freewater. And so that was one of the projects that was awarded. The other project is for the Milton Freewater Community Development Partnership. They are working on a wayfinding signage project for the city that will direct tourists and community members to different points within the community, things like the library, the pool, and other tourist attractions. And so they'll have a nice cohesive signage throughout town there. And then the final project that we awarded funds to was the City of Helix and their Parks and Rec District. Helix is in the process of a remodel to the city's swimming pool and pool house and park out there. And so those funds were awarded to them to make repairs to the irrigation system and landscaping that is being impacted by the park project. And so really just, like I say, it's probably one of the things I enjoy most about my job is being able to take those funds and get them out into our community for the benefit of county residents. Now, the next grant cycle will be in the fall. Those applications are due, I believe, the first Friday in October. And we've assembled a grant review committee that's made up of various city council members from our communities. We selected those council members based on, you know, geographic representation, and there are several from large communities and small communities on this review committee. And so the way that works is there's a pretty fairly simple application. It's actually a one-page application that community groups can go online and download and complete it and submit it to me at the county. And then I get that application to the Grants Review Committee for their review. And then they make funding recommendations based on the amount of available funding we have and score the applications, and then we award the funds. So again, the next cycle for that is October, and we just have really been trying to spread the word to get as many community groups or businesses as possible to apply for those funds. So really exciting project.
You touched on, I think, a little bit my next question, and that is regarding the grants, as far as are they a set in, you know, these are three, and I'll fill in the blank here as far as the number, three $25,000 grants, or are the grants dependent on the project?
Yeah, so it really is project dependent and also dependent on the amount of lottery dollars that the county receives. We get a disbursement from the state a couple times a year, and so that money is then used to fund this program. So I guess the more people are using those video lottery machines, the more money that we get here at the county. But and then we can put it towards those projects. But typically, a lot of the projects we've seen have been in the neighborhood of $10,000 or less. We did fund one this last cycle that was more than that. But it just depends on what the needs are. We also like that some of our applicants are using those funds to match for other grant funds. And I think that, you know, really shows that they have a lot of skin in the game. They're committed to their projects. And I think the grant committee enjoys seeing that. The other thing we wanted to be clear about was that the grants are supposed to go to lasting, tangible items that benefit the community. And so it's not a means to fund various community events. And so we've tried to be clear about that in our solicitation criteria.
And if folks want more information about these different grants or have questions, how do they contact you, or is there a website? Where do they get more information?
Yeah, so there is information on the county's homepage. The grant application is right there on the homepage, or they can contact our office at the courthouse, the Community Development Department, and be directed to me, and I can answer any questions someone might have.
All right. Well, we're going to take our next break and come back, continue our conversation, so stay with us.
Listen to the Coffee Hour any day, anytime. Find podcasts of past shows at mycolumbiabasin.com.
Breaking news. The Port of Walla Walla and its partner, Alaska Airlines, are excited to announce the return of the second round-trip flight between Walla Walla and Seattle. This second flight commences on September 6, 2023 at the Walla Walla Regional Airport with an early a.m. departure and a late p.m. arrival. Let's rally behind this expanded air service and fly Walla Walla. Book your tickets today at alaskaair.com. Remember, free parking.
In the late 1800s and the early 1900s, wheat farmers used up to 40 mules to pull combines through the hills of wheat country. The Umatilla County Historical Society presents the 19th annual Old Iron Show. Experience the sights, sounds, and mechanical marvels which led those mules out of the fields for the last time. Tractors, engines, cars, trucks, horse-drawn, and hand-powered machinery will be on display at the free show June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in Roy Raley Park, Pendleton.
Get around town for free. The City of Pendleton Letter Bus Transit is a bus system within the city limits and has 11 stops a day at 30 locations throughout town. Cost of the ride is free, and the bus operates 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. For route and schedule information, please visit our website at www.pendleton.or.us/transportation or call 541-276-6476. Letter Bus Transit is brought to you by the City of Pendleton.
Are you ready to work on the yard? Zimmerman & Company True Value has the tools you need to get the job done. Here's Terry to tell you more.
We've got hose, soil, shovels. You know, I've got gardening gloves, knee pads. We've got the weed barrier cloth. We do have the plastic Visqueen stuff too, but most people do the cloth because it allows the water to go through but not the weeds to come up.
Zimmerman & Company True Value. Open 7 days a week on Main Street in Pendleton. Behind every project is a True Value.
Local news, local issues from the area's only live and local morning show. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Robert Walder, Director, Umatilla County Community Development Department. And Robert, you were just telling me that you just got back from the visiting the Chicago area with Commissioner Dan Doran and some other area representatives and such on an industrial tour. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so there's a group of us from Oregon that made a really quick trip over to Chicago, an area called Joliet. It's outside, it's a suburb outside of the city. And our reason for going over there was to learn more about an industrial development that has taken place over there called CenterPoint. It's a very large campus, a couple thousand acres. And the reason for us going over there was to because there's a lot of similarities between the former Umatilla Army Depot, which is now under the control of the Columbia Development Authority. And so we went over there to learn from the developer of that industrial site, what are some lessons learned in the development out there? What are some things we could bring back to Umatilla County and Morrow County and the CDA to really set us up for a successful project moving forward? This site at CenterPoint was there's a lot of similarities between it and the Umatilla Army Depot. That site was also a former military depot that transferred to the local control from the federal government, and they used to store TNT there, and so for the military, and there were quite a few bunkers and things. So we thought that was pretty interesting. It was also it's also located at the intersection of several major interstates, and similar to the Umatilla project, and so we really learned from them, gleaned some things about how they developed their master plan, which I think is going to be really important for the CDA as they move forward, having a really strong master plan that can change over time. But really, how do we want to develop the Army Depot? What do we want to see in terms of utilities and road infrastructure out there? And then what type of uses does the CDA want to see? So it was a really helpful tour. I think a lot of benefit to it. And it was exciting to have a couple members from Business Oregon there. Ryan DeGroff did a great job setting up the tour. And then commissioners and port representatives were also in attendance. So really, really great tour, and we're excited about what's to come out there at the CDA property.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And yeah, it's going to be exciting to see what they do out there at the former Umatilla Army Chemical Depot. And never hurts to take a field trip, if you will, and see what other communities are doing. And I appreciate you sharing with us that. Well, our time has come to an end. I've been talking this morning with Robert Walder, Director of the Umatilla County Community Development Department. Robert, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me. It's always great to be here.
All right. Learned quite a bit myself this morning, and I appreciate that. That's going to do it for this edition, and we'll be back again tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.
On us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.